From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of his series of interviews in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised by both Christians and unbelievers. Dr. Cairns is the minister emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. His long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into these areas of concern. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, how do you distinguish faith from presumption?
In a Christian's prayer life, how to distinguish faith from presumption? It can be difficult because Christians are in the flesh. Christians have strong desires, and they may well make the mistake. I mean, I've seen it happen again and again, and I found myself falling into it at times, of imposing their will upon the Lord's will, saying that this must be so. I've heard people come and just take a verse of Scripture and say, that's for me, and lift it out and say, I have God's promise, when, well, I have no indication they have God's promise. So what's faith and what's presumption? To say it can be difficult. But however, faith is always, and this is a very basic definition, but faith is always a response to a definitive divine revelation. Faith is never just a human feeling or a human emotion. It is not merely even a human desire, however strong. All those things may be present, but faith is a reaction to what God has said or what God has promised. That's the fundamental thing. Now, the answer, therefore, for me as a Christian has always got to be to the question, what saith the Lord? What does the Lord say about this? And if it's something that the Bible does not specifically address, for example, I have a neighbor, I want to see him saved, I'm praying for him. Now, the Bible doesn't mention my neighbor by name or even by reference. So, can I know the will of God? Well, I believe I can. But it's not simply by saying, well, there's a verse of Scripture, I'm going to lift it out and stand on it. That's something I've got to take before the Lord. Now, there's an ingredient here that we can't miss. Romans chapter 8 tells us that they who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The mark of the sons of God is that they have the indwelling Spirit. The indwelling Spirit lives within a Christian, and he leads a Christian. Now, his leadership is one thing. Our submissive following is another. When Paul says in Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit, he is talking about existing full or under the control of the Holy Spirit, submitted to the control and the leadership of the Spirit of God. And where a Christian is doing that, the Spirit will lead. And where the Spirit doesn't give that conviction and that leadership, then a Christian should not seek to impose it or should not seek to dream it up. Where I don't know the will of God, as for example in praying for an individual, I can pray the Lord according to his will move upon that person's heart and submit everything to the will of God. It doesn't stop me praying for him, because God's will is the best and I can never do any better than that. But that will keep me from presumption. Presumption is where I go ahead of the leading of the Spirit. Faith is where I'm responding to something that I know the Bible has revealed and the Spirit has imposed upon my conscience.
As he comes, he's swirling.
desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it, several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomasian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues to deal with the characteristics of Christian leadership, focusing upon truthfulness. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tomasian.
You must be prepared to be kicked at times. And if you're going to be in any form of leadership, I mean anyone here who's ever run their own business or had people under them, but especially when you run your own affairs and the buck stops with you, especially there, you will learn how difficult it is and how easy it is for people to actually, the people that you give their wages to, that you help them keep a roof over their heads and provide them with employment, they actually turn against you. They begin to speak against you. They begin to murmur against your ways. They begin to try and scrape away to see your motives for the decisions you make in running your business and so on. Yes, it's very common. Anyone here who has had his own business or has his own business will know exactly what that's like. So Paul here shows what it is to give your soul even in spite of all the attacks, and we see here the kind of character that God uses powerfully to influence the lives of others. And so last week, in the opening two verses, which really isn't part of his argument, but sets the scene in terms of an example for us, and we looked at boldness. We saw the boldness that caused him to go and make that entrance there, verse 1, that was not in vain. It wasn't in vain. Why? Because he continued on to do what he did in Philippi, even in spite of how he was treated in that city, and God used it powerfully. And it was boldness that drove him to continue on. The sense of just, we must continue to speak the word of God and continue in the way God has called us to. But just before we get into the meat of the text here that we're looking at this morning, I want to give a caution. I want to give a caution. And the caution relates to being defensive in terms of attacks upon your life. Paul gives an example of that here, if the majority are right in their understanding, that it's not just a self-description, it's a self-defense. And there are times when that is necessary, but we must be careful that we choose those times aright. You will learn, if you have not already, that you will waste a lot of energy, especially if you're in leadership. You enter into politics, you enter into some place where people will just have an opinion about the work that you do, ecclesiastical life, in terms of the state or anything else. I mean, even parents know what it's like when your children get to a certain age. They begin to question you. They begin to doubt your insight in a matter, and they begin to say, you know, question in terms of, well, you know, I think this or do not think that. And you get these discussions that happen as they begin to question you. That's just a little insight into what it's like. You get people, when you're dealing with adults, they can be much more forceful at times in terms of their opinions and their insight. And we can get defensive, and it's not the way to be. We don't want to be defensive all the time. But there's a reason why he's being defensive. I made mention of it last time. It's because the work of God is at stake. If they can just malign him and destroy his character, then everything he said can just be set aside. Doesn't matter. It was all a hoax. He was a liar. He was a fraud. He was a cheat. So they just do away with everything. So he has to come to his defense. And we see even from our larger catechism that being required at times under the ninth commandment. You read in the larger catechism concerning the ninth commandment, it's question 144. And I'll not read it all. It's quite lengthy and it's very humbling. But it asks us, what are the duties required in the ninth commandment? The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man, the good name of our neighbor, as well as our own. And it elaborates near the end a little bit on our own name. And it says this, love and care of our own good name and defending it when need requireth. Love and care of our own good name and defending it when need requireth. And this is what Paul is doing. The need requires a defense of his own name, of his own character. And so that's what he seeks to do. So as we consider kind of continuing the theme of characteristics of Christian leadership, we come from boldness and consider now truthfulness. Truthfulness in verses 3 and 4. Go with me first of all here. As we look at verse 3, the style of Paul's truthfulness, the style of his truthfulness. You see it in a word that's given there in verse 3, for our exhortation. That's how he styles it. That's how he styles his approach to coming in amongst them. Our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, and so on. Our exhortation, literally this word means calling near. It's a compound word. Calling near, to call one near. And the scholars tell us that this is the act of emboldening another in belief or a course of action. In belief or a course of action. In belief or in duty, we might say. You can even bring that into the catechism as well. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And that's really what this word is, exhortation to impact men on their belief and on their duty or course of action. And it has the sense of imploring, entreaty, summons. That's the sense of the there's a frog in my throat. He doesn't want to go away. It has this sense of imploring, entreating, and summons. And so, when you read this word, and this is why I put it as style, because I think the word encapsulates a certain style, our exhortation. It's not our conversation, our little discussion. It was our exhortation. Paul is reminding them of the way that he came in. And by using this word, he is showing that he wasn't just imparting information. He wasn't just coming with a message that allowed people to say, and listen to me on this, he wasn't just coming and saying something that people would say, well, isn't that interesting? And then go home. That was interesting. Kind of like what happens in Athens when he goes there in Acts chapter 17 and you have him go and they, we will hear thee again. And there's this idea of, you know, gathering to hear some philosopher, some new idea. And they walk away and say, well, isn't that interesting? Paul did not preach that way. That was not his intent. This word indicates that he was calling each individual to a verdict regarding the truth of what was said. And that is preaching, beloved. That is preaching. Teaching imparts information, but preaching calls for a response. Preaching should include teaching, but mere teaching is never preaching. Have you ever heard the prayer of someone? And I don't mean this in any way disparagingly, it's just a reality at times, and I think I've been guilty of it myself. But at times you pray, and it may be all accurate and true, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're listening carefully, you'll realize they didn't ask for anything. They kind of went around the world, maybe doctrinally, maybe in terms of their experience at that present time, and they're going around and they're thanking God for this in terms of thankfulness and thankful for certain truths that they know and they're aware of and glad that the blood of Christ cleanses them. And they're not really asking even for forgiveness. They're just kind of talking in terms around the circles of these things that are true. And you're listening and realize they never actually said or asked for anything. They never besought God for anything. They never requested anything from God. They're the kind of prayers that go on and you never had an opportunity to say amen very often. Because you want to get behind them in terms of what they request normally. What they're asking for. On the other hand, you will have, you know, those prayers and that just get to the point. Lord, help us. Lord, save us. You know, some of the great prayers in the Bible, I mean, they're really small, short and direct. You think of Peter as he begins to sink in the water, and he's sinking, and he's about to drown, and he doesn't begin to go, Lord, you have all this power, and I know you can deliver, and if it be your will, would you be pleased to save me? I mean, he doesn't have time for that. He's thinking he's about to die. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. It's just straight to the point. Help me, Lord. And even when you read the lengthy prayers of the Bible, again, they will extol God. They will praise God. They will recognize God for who he is. But they will then get to the point. They will get to the heart of the issue. Perhaps even the real motive for why they bowed their head before God in the first place. There is a need. There is a demand. There is a request that needs to be brought. Well, in like fashion, the prayer that never asks for anything is a bit like the communication of information that makes no demands upon a person. And it's not preaching. Preaching doesn't do that. Paul says, he styles it as our exhortation. He was calling for a response. The preacher demands a response to the information he shares. For that reason, it must be discriminatory and applicatory. And children, discriminatory just means, you listening children? It's a big word. Discriminatory just means it discriminates in terms of, it makes it very clear, boys and girls, it makes it very clear who's a Christian and who's not a Christian. It makes very plain who's the hypocrite and who's the genuine. Preaching doesn't leave it out there in terms of make up your own mind. It gets right to the heart. It makes it very plain so you begin to feel, if you are on the side of the hypocrite, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. You begin to sense the weight of it, and you have to either repent or you will react in rejection and unbelief. Preaching deals with hearts. It is discriminatory. It makes men aware of where they stand before God. It pulls away the refuge of lies. This is why there's the great prophets, they did not beat about the bush. They laid the axe to the root of the tree. They made it very plain.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.